once again to what I call American Exposé. Here it is, the 19th of August, moving along, 2005. Situations very, very apparent to most of us that do any kind of research at all. And it all centers around this A21. And I'm sorry to say, but I'm not the instigator of the problem. I'm just the apologist for us being so in the dark about the directions things have turned. And I've only been doing this for 9 years. That's not very long compared to how the implementation process has been going on. And that's why I keep referring back to Korea and Vietnam and all of our brothers and fathers that died in that setup scenario that we have haunting us today that people don't want to realize. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Kate Price from Operation Information. And one of our good people alerted me of this individual. And I don't know whether she wants to be in any kind of a spotlight any more than she is. But the point is, it's all about the dumbing down process to create a compliant military force that will do what they're told for the UN Global Army. And this is the way I see it. And I, you know, if you think I'm wrong on this, be sure to let me know. But the opportunity here at this network is the best opportunity that I've ever had since I've been broadcasting. The staff, John's desire to increase numbers. This is the bottom line. Sheer numbers of people waking up, refusing to accept these directions that are being crammed down our throats is imperative. And the keynote on all of it today is the plan for the human race in the 21st century. It's called Agenda 21. That's all there is to it. Everything interconnects to that, including this UN Security Council Resolution 1773. I've covered most of it, but I'm going to conclude this at the conclusion of the first commercial pause for the free enterprise cause. We've covered the fact that acting under Chapter 7 of the Charter of the United Nations decides that all states shall, and I've covered this. And then we're going to deal on calls upon all states, too, when we return. Because it's all imperative to realize it's the State Department implementation of the UN system. The State Department uses the UN to further their foreign policy. State Department all-powerful. And did you realize that there is a Fort Knox deconstruction program going on? The deconstruction of Fort Knox under BRAC is well underway. And they say over the last several years, Fort Knox has developed and implemented an effective deconstruction program managed through their Qualified Recycling Program, the QRP. That's the Qualified Recycling Program, and operated by MWR. What's truly amazing about Fort Knox's QRP is that it's a completely solvent and self-sustaining program operated by NAF employees and has turned a profit for the last 24 years. And it goes on. But under BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure, much is being done to Fort Knox that we're not hearing about. And the beat goes on. Decommissioning our military bases for the global system, the UN Army. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. Kate Price at the bottom of the hour, Operation Information. Stay with us. Okay, here we go, underway. If you want to check out Kate Price's information, Operation Information, that's www.operationinformation.com. Operationinformation.com. We're going to call her at the bottom of the hour. But I want to get to the crux of the terrorism situation that's been bandied about by many, but they don't connect the dot to the UN system. and the State Department, and that's where the dot needs to be connected. Going all the way back to State Department Publication 7277 that I talked about yesterday, and others are connecting this dot as well. And everybody coming on the same page is most imperative. So regarding this U.N. Security Council resolution, they state that they call upon states to, and states are countries in the U.N.'s eyes, A, find ways of intensifying and accelerating the exchange of operational information, especially regarding actions or movements of terrorist persons or networks, forged or falsified travel documents, traffic in arms, explosives or sensitive materials, use of communications technologies by terrorist groups, and the threat posed by the possession of weapons of mass destruction by terrorist groups. So what are they talking about? All encompassing every little facet of everything that could be happening. In order to do this, everybody has to be controlled in everything that they do. There's where the RFID comes in, the barcodes. But the Biometrics Consortium is on our website, AmericanExpose.com. It's a federal agency about how to identify individuals. They talk about face, retina, wrist veins, hand recognition, over and above fingerprints. So this all interconnects people. This is my point. They also call upon states to B, exchange information in accordance with international and domestic law, and cooperate on administrative and judicial matters to prevent the commission of terrorist attacks. Once again, this all comes under the title of Chapter 40 of Agenda 21, Information for Decision Making. Well, that sounds very harmless, information for decision making, but think about what they say, information for decision making. Totalitarianism is a better word for it. Information for totalitarian control of mankind is the better way to put it. Also, they call upon states to cooperate, particularly through bilateral and multilateral arrangements and agreements, to prevent and suppress terrorist attacks and take action against perpetrators of such acts. Calls upon states to D, become parties as soon as possible to the relevant international conventions and protocols related to terrorism, including the International Convention for the Suppression of the Financing of Terrorism of 9 December 1999. E, increase cooperation and fully implement the relevant international conventions and protocols relating to terrorism and Security Council Resolutions 1269 of 1999 and 1368 of 2001. They call upon states to F, take appropriate measures in conformity with the relevant provisions of national and international law, including international standards of human rights, before granting refugee status for the purpose of ensuring that the asylum seeker has not planned, facilitated, or participated in the commission of terrorist acts. Now, right there is a laughable direction when you want to see conformity of the U.N. system in America at the bottom of the border here, the bottom of our border between U.S. and Mexico. Understand that the international zone was created under NAFTA, part of GATT, 62.5 miles on both sides of the border between Mexico and the U.S. By executive order, it was increased to 150 miles on our side of the border. The international zone, listeners, it was called Border Region 21, then called Border 21. Now, apparently, it's called Border 2012. Do a search on Border 2012, listeners, and see what you come up with. In other words, all this scenario is not relevant for our country because the design is to take our country down by the UN system, and that's just the bottom line. That's just the way it is, listeners. As I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and it continues to this day. So they call upon states to, and once again, I'm just reiterating, we're covering UN Security Council Resolution 1373 from the U.S. Department of State, dated September 28, 2001, right after the setup Pearl Harbor, 9/11. And shoot, for us to believe this happened on 9/11 wasn't by design, boy, we are really in the dark. So they want to, G, ensure in conformity with international law that refugee status is not abused by the perpetrators, organizers, or facilitators of terrorist acts, and the claims of political motivation are not recognized as grounds for refusing requests for the extradition of alleged terrorists. Then we go to number four. Notes with concern and close connection between international terrorism and transnational organized crime. Illicit drugs, money laundering, illegal arms trafficking, and illegal movement of nuclear, chemical, biological, and other potentially deadly materials. And in this regard, emphasize the need to enhance coordination of efforts on national, sub-regional, regional, and international levels in order to strengthen a global response to this serious challenge and threat to international security. So what do they need? They need a United Nations global military to facilitate this direction. And there I'm using their own lingo. And that's what we have today in the coalition. It is a United Nations military in the Middle East today. The documentation speaks for itself. When you search it out, you'll agree with me totally, if you haven't already agreed with me already. And there is the crux of the problem. It's the UN system, engineered by the State Department. Secretary of Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, receives no compensation from the United States as a governor of the IMF. And the United States is a federal corporation, which is on the front of the website, AmericanExpose.com. So we'll continue with this a little bit more as we wrap this up. And then we'll deal with the Convention on Biological Diversity as it's updated, August 2nd of this year. Just amazing stuff, listeners. And then we're going to have Kate Price with us at the bottom of the hour. Operation Information. Be sure to go to her website, www.operationinformation.com. So they go to number five of this UN Security Council Resolution 1373. Declares that acts, methods, and practices of terrorism are contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations, and that knowingly financing, planning, and inciting terrorist acts are also contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. Well, gee, I suppose Russia and Communist China should be kicked out of the United Nations then. According to many sources, they're the financiers of terrorism. Hansa Molina certainly does his research. Jeff Nyquist does his research. DJ McGuire does his research. And I have books behind me that I can't really pull out right now, but it's all very, very obvious that the UN is a setup scenario situation for our country and the rest of the world. For totalitarianism, telling you what you can and can't do, making sure that you never own land. And yet, yes, don't pay your property taxes today and you lose your land. So how far along are we? Well into this scenario today, listeners. Well into it. It's not my doing, it's not your doing, but it's our responsibility to undo it. An increase of numbers. Number six, decides to establish in accordance with Rule 28 of its Provisional Rules of Procedure a committee of the Security Council consisting of all members of the Council to monitor implementation of this resolution with the assistance of appropriate expertise and calls upon all states to report to the committee no later than 90 days from the date of adoption of this resolution and therefore according to a timetable to be proposed by the committee on the steps they have taken to implement this resolution. Keep in mind, they talk about the Security Council. It's always been a Russian or a Russian satellite country that has been in charge of the Security Council at the UN. So what did this 9/11 do? It brought more power to the United Nations system. It brought our military over to the Middle East and left us, for all intents and purposes, defenseless for our country. Sea Cray container companies have brought in Costco containers, China Ocean Shipping Company on the East Coast, on the West Coast, Gulf of Mexico, Panama Canal, in charge of by Hutchison Whampoa, of the Chinese military. Not a comfortable, optimistic direction that I can give you. Then the last three of this UN Security Council Resolution 1373, number seven, directs the committee to delineate its tasks, submit a work program within 30 days of the adoption of this resolution, and to consider the support it requires in consultation with the Secretary General. Number 8 expresses its determination to take all necessary steps in order to ensure the full implementation of this resolution in accordance with its responsibilities under the Charter of the United Nations. And number 9 decides to remain seized of this matter. What does that mean? Decides to remain seized of this matter? I would suppose that means solid in place. This information comes from unattractive.com, www.unattractive.com, partner website to American Exposé, as does this information. Draft updated strategic plan of the clearinghouse mechanism for the period 2005 to 2010 under the Convention on Biological Diversity. Oh, boy. Much to this, listeners. Much to do, much time needed that you have to spend to educate yourself and others and support this network as well. We'll be back. Stay with us. Broadcast listeners, I'm Chris Turner with American Exposé. We'll hold off there with the calls for a minute. Sustainable Development Overview from the Joint Service Pollution Prevention Opportunity Handbook. This is dealing with the joint military operations, the joint services, and how they're being incorporated into Agenda 21, listeners. The process code comes from the Navy Marines. The usage list is the Navy medium, Marines medium, Army medium, Air Force medium. They talk about sustainable development is the application of pollution prevention to the life cycle of facilities and infrastructure to ensure the best fit of the built environment to the natural environment. It allows the armed services to meet mission needs while conserving resources, avoiding environmental impacts, and creating healthy workplaces that have lasting value. To incorporate sustainable development concepts into building or remodeling projects, it is necessary to begin by developing a project management team that includes a pollution prevention specialist. In addition to the usual members, this team can review options and set environmental and sustainability goals. These goals are the first step to selecting specific actions to make the project more sustainable. They will help to identify the necessary modifications to the project's planning, design, and construction documents to ensure that the project is sustainable. The earlier in the project planning process that sustainability is considered, the more sustainable the project will be. The development of the DD from 1391, the project approval document that defines the project scope and budget, is the optimal time to start. And they talk about sustainable development involves incorporating the following concepts into the design phase of building. Energy conservation, increased use of renewable energy sources, the reduction or elimination of toxic and harmful substances, improvements to indoor air quality, water quality and conservation, efficiency in resource and material use, recycling of building materials, the use of recycled materials, the reduction of waste products during the construction, etc., etc. Listeners, so we come to, and once again, this comes from unattractive.com, Fort Knox Deconstruction Practices Update, dated 17 March 2004, people. And what do they say? The deconstruction approach, Fort Knox defines deconstruction as, quote, the careful harvesting of building materials from a structure in the reverse order in which it was constructed, end quote. Fort Knox inserts a six-week window into their normal demolition cycle for deconstruction. During the first week, Fort Knox holds a live auction to sell the recycling rights of properties planned for demolition. The next 5 weeks are allocated to the winning bidders to complete deconstruction. After the deconstruction period, the facility remains are turned over to the demolition contractor for disposal. They deal with lots of directions here in this piece of information about the deconstruction of Fort Knox. And they say the deconstruction benefits The advantage of inserting a deconstruction phase into the normal demolition phase are, and keep in mind, BRAC-based realignment and closure, conservation of natural resources, provides low-cost building materials to the community. In other words, what's taken out of Fort Knox is reused in other building projects in other parts of the country there. Extends life of the base and CD landfill. Reduces operating costs of the C&D landfill. Reduces demolition costs. Reduces landfill disposal cost, etc. Over a three-year period, the Fort Knox deconstruction program has achieved the following results. Get this. They've recycled 258 buildings, which were World War II-era wooden structures. Number two, they recycled 451 apartments, 50s and 60s-era brick construction. That's 451 apartments. Diverted over 150,000 tons of material from their C&D landfill. Extended life of C&D landfill by 20 years. Saved $1.5 million in landfill disposal costs. Saved $1.2 million in demolition costs. Generated $256,000 in revenue. And provided nearly a $3 million economic impact. So what do? Close down the military base and make it a moneymaker for recycling. Does that make any sense to us that see the challenges in the world we're facing today where more wars in human history are going on around the world, where South Africa is on fire, Zimbabwe is in turmoil? We haven't even been there to any intents and purposes yet that I know of, although we may be. So the situation is quite ominous in my thoughts. And they say, before Fort Knox was able to realize their current success, they had to overcome several significant hurdles. Their first challenge was to effect a cultural change to overcome the perception that since deconstruction has never been attempted before, it was viewed as something that would not work. Top-down support was critical to overcome their culture that was unfamiliar with deconstruction. Well, the point is, to me, is our military bases are very, very important, and for obvious reasons. And the communities around the military bases turn into ghost towns when those bases are closed down. So, it's the UN system in place, listeners. We will have NATO forces in America to patrol our country in the very near future when the next terrorist event is propagated on us. We'll be back to continue. We'll bring up Kate Price and DJ, more than likely. Stay with us. Broadcast listeners, keep in mind the United Nations Medal awarded to service members who have been in U.N. service with one of the following: U.N. Observation Group in Lebanon, U.N. Truth Supervision Organization in Palestine, U.N. Military Observer Group in India and Pakistan, U.N. Security Forces, All India, U.N. Transitional Authority in Cambodia, U.N. Advanced Mission in Cambodia, U.N. Protection Force in Yugoslavia, U.N. Mission for the Referendum in Western Sahara, or U.N. operations in Somalia, to include U.S. Quick Reaction Force members, listeners. U.N. Quick Reaction Force members. Well, it is all very, very apparent on unattractive.com, and we will deal with this as we move along. But we need to take DJ in Florida, I believe. DJ, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, hey, I called up the United Nations, the publications.
Yes.
And is it the 1373 I'm supposed to get, or what book?
What you want to get is Agenda 21.
That's what I asked for, but she said there's a number of them.
No. There's just one Agenda 21.
That's all? Okay.
There's 40 chapters of Agenda 21, and it's in a big book.
Yeah.
And so she's just not versed on it herself.
Oh, okay. And, that's what I asked for. And she says, well, there's many of them, you know. So.
Well, that's because she was probably saying there's many chapters and maybe many offshoots of that. But There's one Agenda 21 book.
Okay.
And there is a UN publication direction on my website. Do you have that ability to go?
No, I don't. No.
I see.
Yeah. Hey, you know who the first Secretary General was?
Of the UN?
United Nations? Yeah, United Nations.
Was it Dag Hammarskjöld?
No. Alger Hiss.
Alger Hiss, correct.
Yeah.
Good point. Well done.
Yeah, you betcha.
Alger Hiss, a spy.
Absolutely.
A Soviet spy.
And it's all CFR. It was designed by the CFR.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Well, America
and
should
you
be...
And you see CFR people on TV all the time.
Isn't that a fact?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
So they're showing themselves today,
yeah.
And we're supposed to accept that.
Well, just like that guy said yesterday, run for public office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, whether it's the city council or whatever.
That's where it needs to start.
Yeah. I mean, you've given the information, right?
Yes.
And we're supposed to use it somehow.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So let's run.
Absolutely. Run for your local legislative branches.
Absolutely. Okay, my friend.
Thank you very much. We have one other caller. I'm not sure who it is. And then we're going to take our guest, Kate Price, Operation Information. Let's take Will. Will, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chris, or good afternoon, wherever you are.
Yes, sir.
I've got a similar report to the last gentleman. However, let me start it off. If everybody take their pencil and paper out, I'll give you the UN operator number for the United Nations building so that you don't have to pay directory assistance and get a $5 tag on your bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's 212-963-1234. And that number will get you directly to the building operator. And then you'll ask for the publications. They'll run you into one of those voicemail deals. And I believe it's 4, but you press that and get the publications. Now then, the previous caller was correct. You're going to get somebody with a foreign language most likely. But you want to be very persistent and stick with it, and you're looking for Agenda 21 Earth Summit, Rio, 1993. It'll come up in their catalog. It is $25. Credit card is okay. And if you ask for a catalog of publications, they will include it, and it'll take about 2 weeks to receive it.
Oh, great.
Okay, so everyone without a computer can go right there, and then when you get that publications catalog, that will be your access to the rest of the material. And the reason, Chris, why I like to get these things direct, whether you're dealing with the government printing office or your state or your county, instead of allowing them to switch you into the electronic system, what I like to do is, on issues like this, is to make these books, documents, and publications the best sellers in the state. I want them to know that I know and that we know and that they're going out the door at mass quantities.
That's a very good idea. Would you repeat that information for the listeners out there that may not have had a pencil and paper handy?
Yes. The UN operator at the United Nations building in New York City, New York, is area code 212-963-1234. Ask for publications, and then ask specifically, because you'll get the runaround, for Agenda 21, Earth Summit, Rio, 1993, and it will be $25, and then ask for a catalog of publications.
Very, very good.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Will.
Keep it up.
Thank you very much. Okay, listeners, now we have these directions of dumbing down going on. I've quoted from articles in the Oklahoman about the cost of one student to be educated for 1 year is over $11,000. And yet we're finding that the literacy rate in Oklahoma is quite remarkable. Now we have Kate Price with us. Operation Information is her website. Kate, welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a privilege to have you with me because of your intensive research. What has made you have to do this and put out this incredible website?
Well, it was last fall, so not even a year ago, I had put my kids back into public school. And I noticed on a weekly basis there was some sort of crisis that I was having to address with the schools because they were really overstepping their boundaries when it came to my sons. I have four sons. I had one in the fourth grade at the time, a second grader, a first grader, and a kindergartner. I had one son who was given reading material that was inappropriate for his age, that was introducing him to the female anatomy before, obviously, at his age, he's ready for that. But thanks to Union Public Schools, they introduced him to the female anatomy.
Oh, my.
Through reading literature. And my second grader was put into an enrichment class without my knowledge and had been in this enrichment class for a month before my finding out at a parent-teacher conference. I was told that he needed to be in this enrichment class because he believed too much along the line of facts and therefore needed his mind stretched to learn to think outside the box, and so he needed critical thinking. And at that moment, I knew that her definition of critical thinking of mine were not the same, because critical thinking does involve facts, and she told me he thinks too much along the line of facts.
Hmm.
And about that time, when those things were taking place with my boys in school, there was a professional development workshop that was held for Tulsa area teachers on the Middle East and on Islam. And it was given by the Middle East Policy Council, hosted by Tulsa Public Schools, and brought to us in conjunction, again, with the Middle East Policy Council and the Islamic Society of Tulsa. And they went through a day-long indoctrination class for these teachers and myself and a few other parents, a couple who have since we've joined together to bring about our website. And we fought against this Islamic Arab World Studies notebook in our schools. We're still fighting that. It hasn't gone away, but that's how we started.
Why would they be trying to teach Islam in the schools?
Well, I believe that it is to further do away with our heritage as a nation. They look at Islam as being the culture of the Middle East, but they do not include Christianity as being the culture of the West.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is in an effort to squash Christianity. As a matter of fact, the Arab World Studies notebook put together by Audrey Shabazz, who was speaking at this development course, stated that we were a post-Christian nation. And this notebook has been given to Tulsa Public Schools and anybody who was part of this professional development course. Teachers in Oklahoma City, the schools in Oklahoma City have had the Middle East Policy Council and this Arab World Studies notebook also presented to them, Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And that's just the state of Oklahoma. This has gone on in schools all across the nation and continues today.
Well, and you've come across and written about Vision 2025, Tulsa's Agenda 21 for Sustainable Development, and you did this on the second of this month.
Mm-hmm.
What galvanized you to center around this Agenda 21?
Well, I found that purely by accident. I had never heard of Agenda 21 before. I was doing research and education, and we had a tax measure passed here in Tulsa called Vision 2025. And so I was looking for a connection between a program called Tulsa Talks and our Vision 2025 tax money. So I typed in a Google search, Vision 2025, comma, education, and I was as astounded at what I found. There were over 600,000 links to Vision 2025, and that were not just in our nation, but were all over the world. And as I did a closer look at our Vision 2025, I started noticing that the European countries and African countries who had this same vision also called it Agenda 21. So I did a comparison of five cities nationally and five internationally, and I found them all to be the same.
Wow. And that makes total sense to me. This is the UN system in America, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The major difference between the European countries and the United States is that they tell their people what they're implementing, but they don't do that here. They won't come out in America and say that this is a UN program.
And why do you think that is?
I believe that they are afraid of the American public, that if enough people were awakened to what they were doing, that the public would put a stop to it.
And I think the public has an opportunity to do so still.
Exactly. And so we are taking every opportunity we can to inform the citizens of Tulsa on what is taking place in our city. And we've done a fairly good job so far of stirring the pot here in town.
Well, and this is the vital importance of bringing you on today. As I see here, dated last Sunday, August 14th, out of the Oklahoman, area agencies to share $8.7 million. This is the United Way of Central Oklahoma. Officials said the fair share allocated to nonprofit partner agencies this year is more than $8.7 million. The United Way is a non-governmental organization of the United Nations.
Yes.
And you recognize that yourself?
I do. Through the community services of Tulsa, we have had full-service schools brought in with support of the United Way, and we have found links back to the UN through the United Way as well. All of these foundations and nonprofit organizations are coming in and partnering with every area within our city, and I know it's not just here, it's everywhere. And through these partnerships, they are absolutely undermining our republic.
Now, I see this article dated August 11th. School costs don't add up, group says. Educating a public school student costs nearly twice what the state reports because officials exclude, quote, many significant costs when computing, end quote, spending, an Oklahoma City-based think tank said Wednesday. However, state officials say Oklahoma follows the same reporting guidelines as other states. The Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs says more than $11,250 is spent every year to educate a public school student. Governor Brad Henry's executive budget book reported $6,429 per student in 2003, the most recent year for which numbers are available. It says Brandon Dutcher, the council's vice president for policy, said he's not sure which is worse, the variance between the two figures or the state earning a meager return on its investment in public schools. It says Steve Anderson, a research fellow with the council, said the state's curriculum does not include more than $121 million funneled through the career tech system and more than $6 million allocated to the Oklahoma Schools of Science and Mathematics. Now, when you connect these dots, and yet somewhere on your website, and I don't know exactly where it is right now, as I was looking at this last night, there is a tremendous amount of illiteracy out here.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's by design. You can't have an educated citizenry and try to pull off the things that they're trying to pull off. And, you know, those costs are only going to rise, too, when you take into account that the school systems are now also putting in health clinics that are not only servicing the children of that school but the families and families of the surrounding communities as well. And then you take into account the English language learners, as they sometimes like to call them, as they call them here, or English as a second language students, in other words, illegals, and you throw them into the pot, then those numbers are only going to rise. The best thing that I can see, and talking with other parents in our community, parents who are concerned about what they see taking place, and it's absolute robbery. The only thing we can see to take place is that public schools are just not an option, and parents are going to have to wake up, pull their children out of these schools, because the more children that are in these schools, then the more they can find wrong with your child, that your child needs this or that or the other, such as they did with my children. My children needed to be signed up on No Child Left Behind, which would give them further federal dollars. We have to put it to a halt by pulling all the kids out. I really believe that is the only option. Public schools are just not an option for Christians and all freedom-loving people in America. They are not an option.
Now, don't our property taxes go to funding the schools?
Yes, they do. They do. I believe it's our ad valorem taxes that go towards that.
Well, isn't that just insane?
Yes.
Our property taxes are going to help dumb down our students and create a UN educational system in America.
Yes.
And yet, if you don't pay your property taxes, you lose your home.
Exactly. So you never really own your home either.
Right.
I know on Union Public Schools' website in Tulsa, they have on there that their mission is to create a global citizen. And I wager if most parents would go to their public school website that they would find similar phrases on their websites as well. We also have an organization here called Tulsa Global Alliance, where we have one of our Tulsa Public School superintendents is a member of Tulsa Global Alliance, along with a Robert Donaldson, who is a Council on Foreign Relations member here in Tulsa that's on this board. And they put Kids World together every year in order to create more tolerance and diversity in a multicultural world and familiarize them with other regions of the world, but never familiarizing them with our own Constitution in the United States.
There you go, listeners. Kate Price, Operation Information is the website. They will be a partner to our website as soon as Darren's able to do that. Operation Information, people. We'll be back with Kate. Stay with us. So the truth will set us free. And welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Operation Information is the website, operationinformation.com. Listen carefully to this, listeners. Dated July 1st of this year, in a news story published October 19th, 2003, in the Oklahoman, Carmel Perez Snyder reported, quote, "More than 421,000 Oklahomans can't read, literacy experts say." That staggering figure prompted Governor Brad Henry last week to throw his support behind a campaign to raise awareness of literacy programs. A 1998 report by the National Institute for Literacy said one in five Oklahomans, 16 and older, are essentially illiterate, experiencing difficulty using certain reading skills considered necessary for functioning in everyday life. More staggering is the Institute's report that 1,127,482 Oklahoma adults, nearly half the population, find themselves between the lowest literacy level and the second level, rendering them quite limited, end quote. Janice Francis Smith reported in the January 14, 2005 Journal Record that, quote, "State businesses are pleading for better educated workers," the head of the Oklahoma Business and Education Coalition said Thursday. "Right now, we are getting the economy we deserve because we are educating kids at such a low level." And this is according to Frances Hideki, executive director of the coalition. Hideki said the chief executive officer of a company in Tulsa had told her the company had to lower their screening test to a fifth grade level, and even then, only one out of five applicants qualified for the job, end quote. Then Governor Frank Keating, when Governor Frank Keating proposed raising the basic high school graduation requirements, there was strong resistance. Howls of protest, former Keating speechwriter Mike Blake recalls, quote, "Waves of indignation, not from the students, many of whom wrote in to praise our initiative, but from educators. I remember one school superintendent from a rural district. Most of those rural school administrators are ex-coaches, by the way, who said, quote, my cowboys don't need to know chemistry, end quote. I wrote back a note to the job market for cowboys was a bit depressed these days, and he never responded, end quote. OCPA's mission is to accumulate, evaluate, and disseminate public policy ideas and information for Oklahoma consistent with the principles of free enterprise, limited government, and individual initiative. Our vision for OCPA, Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, is to be recognized as a highly respected independent public policy institute whose research, analysis, and commentary guides for formation of Oklahoma's public policies and helps Oklahoma to become the leader, specifically within our seven-state region, in all aspects of economic performance and quality of life issues. So the dumbing down process, Kate, is helping to build a compliant United Nations military force, isn't it? What happened? Did I lose you?
Am I not here?
There you are. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yes, when you were reading those statistics, I immediately was thinking of an article called An Introduction to Critical Thinking by Stephen Schaeffersman that I pulled off of the NEA's website after hearing what the teacher had told me about my son and his need for more critical thinking. And in his paper, he states the critical thinking movement in the U.S. has been bolstered and economically sustained by the business community's need to compete in a global economy. And I noticed that here in Tulsa, we have a program called Exchange City.
Okay, now keep that in place. We'll continue with this into the second hour. This is very vital information, listeners. Stay with us. We're with Kate Price, Operation Information.